What is up, my deadly demon slayers? On this episode, we'll talk about a black-eyed kid sighting, a mysterious spinning object in space, Edgegrave Dave reviews Killer Sofa, Chris Whitehouse shares a personal paranormal experience, John Wright begins his coverage on hypnotic regression, and much, much more, so let's go!
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 33 of season 2 of the Warped Reality Podcast. I know you're going to enjoy this show. I have a lot of things planned for you in this episode. Tons of information, tons of cool stuff. And yeah, so I hope you enjoy it. So as I'm recording this, it's only going to be a couple days before this actually comes out. It's, you know, the second week of March, and things are moving along pretty quickly in this year. I think it's almost, I mean, look at it. It's almost springtime. You know, over where I'm at in New York, we really didn't have too much of a winter, which I'm kind of glad about, because when it snows up here, it freaking snows up here. So I'm kind of happy about that. We did have a snowstorm last week, and it wasn't too terrible. So let's start this off a little bit, and I'm going to tell you about a little bit of a news report that I actually just read today that came out 2 days ago that I found pretty interesting. So a couple days ago, a news report was released that 28 schoolgirls from Galeras Educational Institute in Galeras, Colombia, were hospitalized for severe anxiety and fainting from using a Ouija board at school. Apparently, they used this Ouija board in school. I don't know what kind of curriculum they're doing there, but, you know, a nurse in the closest hospital that's also a parent of one of the children there had said that she's been seeing 3 to 4 young girls coming in there every day with these symptoms from using this Ouija board or right after using it. The parents, of course, blame the school, and the school refuses to say much of anything until the medical reports are released and, you know, more investigations happen. Oddly enough, though, this isn't the first time this has happened in Colombia. A few months ago, about 5 teens were rushed to the hospital after fainting following the use of a Ouija board. And in another school, 11 students aged 13 to 17 passed out in the school hallways. So after Ouija board use as well. So this is kind of a crazy occurrence. You kind of wonder, is it from the Ouija board, or could there be, you know, not saying much, but Colombia is, known for some, illegal activities going on there or coming from there. So maybe these Ouija boards are laced in something, you know, who knows? You know, I know in the profession that I work in, fentanyl is very, very, very dangerous, and it could be laced on anything, and anybody that touches it could get affected by it. So hey, you never really know. But if it is because of the Ouija board being haunted and stuff, listen, I'd love to hear Chris Whitehouse's opinion on it, because he's like the master of the Ouija board, that I know. Because he uses it all the time in his investigations and never really has any issues with it. So I'd love to hear his opinion on it. So recently on the UK website Mirror.co, which I actually love looking at this website, they have a lot of cool things on there. They had reported that a drone recently picked up footage of what they believe to be proof of a black-eyed girl who has been seen in the Cannock Chase, Staffordshire woodlands since the 1980s. According to the paranormal investigator Robert Palm, he says that Cannock Chase is one of the most haunted places in Britain. He states that this girl could have fallen victim to the local diphtheria outbreak of the 1800s. The disease actually made the victim's eyes appear sunken and dark. She may also be a murder victim of Raymond Morris, who killed 3 local children from 1965 to 1967. A teenage couple had witnessed this terrifying girl a couple of times while camping overnight in 2021. While they were in their tent trying to sleep, they heard noises from right outside of rustling leaves and branches and even a child giggling. They peeked out to find a shadowy figure moving very fast, almost as if she was teleporting between trees. It left them frightened and sleepless until the morning time, when they were walking back to their car because they were like, no, we out of here. This is too much for us. They spotted her one more time, her black eyes peering at them from behind an oak tree. Another sighting happened in 2019 when a young girl chased after the ghostly child, but was unable to catch up to her, among almost falling off of a 20-foot cliff. So I'll have to check this out with my buddy Chris as well, because, you know, that's his homeland over there. I'm not sure if that's anywhere close to where he's at, but he may know a little bit about it. So I also recently did a segment all about the Black Eyed Kids for my Warped Reality segment for the Paranoid Radio podcast. For those of you that don't know, I do a monthly segment for them, and I encourage you to check out that podcast. The podcast is very interesting, well put together, and well researched. They deep dive into many different subjects and relay it in an entertaining way. I'll have to link their show notes for you to check it out. And I'm also going to release my segment as a bonus very, very soon. So stay tuned for that. All right. And now for some out of this world news. So recently, scientists had been receiving repeated radio signals every 18 minutes. An astrophysicist, Dr. Natasha Hurley-Walker, who leads an Australian-based research team, said that the signals were unlike anything they've ever received. And they all started getting really, really excited because they really felt that this could be signs or extraterrestrials trying to communicate with us. So they found the signals were coming from a mysterious spinning object from 4,000 light years away. She broke out in a cold sweat, thinking that, you know, this is it. We found proof of alien life, and she's probably going to become super, super famous, and they'll name an alien species after her and all that stuff. And after some hours of investigating, they concluded that the signal was coming from a natural source, most likely a neutron star or a white dwarf planet. But how do we know this? You know, they're saying this, but, you know, a lot of these things can be explained, right? Let me take the realist approach on this. A lot of these things can be explained, you know, naturally or scientifically. But not everything could be that reason. You know, there's different reasons, for the same thing. You know, so when one thing happens, there could be numerous reasons of why that one thing is happening. So we really have no idea. Maybe they were told to say that, you know, that they found out that it was a neutron star or that it was a white dwarf planet, you know, or maybe it was. Who knows? But all in all, very, very cool. So I'm sure you guys are pretty tired of hearing me talk at this point. So right now, we're going to go with some horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave. So let's take it away, Edgegrave.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
All right. Okay. It is my sworn duty to protect my grave diggers. And what you have to be careful with, kids, is your furniture. They actually made a movie in 2019 called Killer Sofa. wait a second. They made a movie called Killer Sofa. Just yeah, this actually happened, guys. And it was written, directed, and produced by Bernie Rao, starring Pimo May, Natalie Morris, Harley Neville, Stacey King, Jed Prophy, and Jim Baltax. He actually also served as a production manager. Guys, when I tell you that not even your furniture is safe, I do mean just that, because that is what we're dealing with here, guys, so get ready. Now, it is at this time that I'm going to issue an Edgegrave warning, spoiler alert, but I might be saving you the trouble here, spoiling something. Let's talk about this freaking sofa first. Firstly, it's got two buttons on the center of the chair for eyes. This is one of those movies, guys, where, boy, is the artwork deceiving. Now, this used to happen a lot of the time, especially back in the 70s and the 80s, where there would be some sort of an artist rendition of something, and it would make it look super cool, you know, like those times where I remember going back to the video store and I could literally rent any horror film from A to Z. And just by looking at the cover, there was no internet, there was no Google, there was no nothing. All that you had was the artwork. That was all that you had. And the cover of this thing looked really cool. You had these crazy teeth, this cunning stare, this menacing-looking piece of furniture. And then you kind of have this thing. The movement of this thing is also not really done very well. Now, we've talked about Jack Frost, how there's kind of silly things like it had an oven mitten for a hand and silly icicle fangs. But this one, I mean, was this lazy boy just kind of plain lazy? I mean, the kills, you know, you have certain times you just see like a little springboard kind of coming up, the way that kind of shuffles from apartment to the street. One of the funny high points for me of the movie is when they're trying to exorcise the possessed soul of the chair, which we're going to talk about. It's actually blown out the freaking matches. This one scene makes the whole thing worth it, guys. It's actually blowing the matches out with its little mouth. It's almost cute, except that it's absolutely not. And when you see it, you're going to be like, this is one of the only movements of this whole freaking chair that I'm seeing here, aside for a couple of shoddy kills. So basically, you have this demon called the Dibuk. This is actually a Judaism demon. Now, this is one of the few movies that actually takes a rabbi to help to kind of exorcise this, but at the same time, it kind of borrows different things from voodoo, from Christianity. It doesn't really know what it wants to be. There's a lot of mythologies in these movies. I mean, one of the strongest that I've seen in previous movies, for example, is Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors. You know, you have Freddy's bones needs to be laid to rest with holy water. I mean, something strong like that, I can understand. This movie doesn't even know where it even wants to go. It's obsessed with the person that lives in the apartment, Francesca, and any man that tries to get in between her and the sofa, it kills. Now, why is the sofa doing this, you ask? Because of the Dubuk that is possessing it. Basically, it was part of a couple that turns out was her great-grandmother. And it was a couple, they were killed in the 17th century, and this spirit has been possessing and living in the sofa for quite some time. The Dubuk are spirits of the dead who possess a living body normally, and they leave when their job is done. But in this case, it's just waiting there, and it's waiting for its lover, which is actually kind of sad. But the only sad thing about this is the actual movie itself. And that is the reason why I'm going to rate this the inaugural Broken Shovel. Now, to be fair, you know, sometimes you just kind of want a movie that you sit back and it's so bad that it's good. Well, that is not exactly one of those in this case. It does have a story that is definitely interesting to see at least once. You have two inspectors called Gravy and Grape. You know, you have this Dibuk, which isn't really talked about in any of the movies and all the different broken kind of myth lore. It's definitely something that you just might kind of want to sit back and kind of laugh at. It's got shoddy kills. It doesn't have enough of the sofa. I would really like to see that. It just kind of has, like, a lot of commentary that you might want to commit to yourself and just, you know, maybe throw it on with, like, some friends and say, wow, you know, how can you make something like this? But at the end of the day, it is entertainment, and you might just be looking down at your sofa or other furniture twice the next time that you could be doing it even right now. Have a seat, Ghost Joe.
Oh my God, a killer sofa. What are they thinking of next? And the fact that this movie didn't come out in like the 80s actually really surprises me that this came out later on, because they're all, you know, all these horror directors and stuff are all obsessed with, you know, the crazy computer effects and all this stuff. and like making it look all creepy and the stop go motion of the walking and all this stuff. And then they come out with Killer Sofa. And all I must say is it really, it actually does remind me a lot of when we used to watch those really, really terrible movies on USA, like Up All Night, when Elvira would host it. Now I'm really dating myself, but it's true though. You know, those movies, those were these kinds of movies. And, it's kind of really, really funny. And, thank you, Edgegrave Dave, for watching it so we don't have to. So, I don't know what to say anymore, but, let's just say I'm standing up while doing the rest of this podcast. Okay. And on to the next segment. So right now, we're not wasting any more time, everybody. We're going to jump straight into the next segment with Mr. Chris Whitehouse of the White House Investigation Team. It's a great segment. Check it out. Let's go.
Hi, it's Chris. In this episode, I would like to talk about my grandma. Now, she would have been 104 in January, but sadly, she passed away at Christmas and had her funeral on her 104th birthday. Now, she's a fascinating woman, and to be honest, by the end, she wanted to go and see her dead relatives. She was sick of being a nuisance to the world, she thought, taking up space when there was other people who needed it. She kept her faculties right up until the end. It's staggering. You could talk to her about all sorts of olden times, and she'd join the conversation. There seemed to have been very little lack of memory. However, I really want to talk about when I got into ghost hunting and my gran heard I'd started a ghost team. She expressed a real interest in what we were doing, and I'd never really had conversations about spirit with her, even though she was very much a churchgoer. She would tell me that my granddad and herself would go to seances, and she'd say, oh, well, yeah, I remember a coffee table. We all had our hands on a coffee table and it levitated right off the floor. And I was staggered. I mean, this is a woman I completely trust. I just don't see that she'd prank anybody or make anything up. Absolutely, you know, church going straight as they come. So, yeah, I was fascinated by that. And I also knew that she actually worked for a time at East Riddlesden Hall, near where I live and where she lived. It's actually a 17th century manor house. She was staff for the family who owned it when she was a young woman. And when she was walking around this place, what's now like a museum, she was walking around one day across up and down the stairs, various stairs they have around the building. And she said it was like an ice bath sort of went right through her as she was on a staircase and just made her shiver to the bone, and then had gone again. It was a lovely warm day again. And she sort of went down to the kitchen and said to the kitchen staff and the lady of the house who was there, oh, there's a really freezing breeze right in the middle of the house. And the lady of the house said, you've just met the grey lady. And she said, oh, you know, right, a ghost. And so she never had that again, but it was sort of thought to be an initiation of sorts. The Grey Lady had been seen walking the grounds outside, and there's other ghost stories here. But yes, it seems my gran had had two great examples of being in contact with spirit. And so towards the end, our talks would come back to my using the Ouija board, and most of my family members have a keyword that if they want to prove there's an afterlife to me, then they can spell a word on the Ouija board or do something else related to that word. It's a very unusual word, and that's why I chose it. So when I came back in January to get back into investigating, the first name that came through was my gran's first name. However, that turned out not to be my gran. But I was like, oh, here we go. Yeah, so I don't know if she... I expect her to come through because she was so fed up of being here. She's had such a long time on Earth. I don't think she's ready to come and show herself. But we will see. We live in hope. Anyway, hope she rests wherever she is, and I'll see her again one day. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you in another episode.
Thank you so much, Chris, for that awesome segment. And thank you so much for sharing such a personal story with us. And by the way, you know, God bless your grandma for living such a long and healthy life, it seems. So that's really, really amazing. And I mean, just the fact of somebody living over 100 years that have seen so many things go on. I mean, it's mind-boggling, you know, the inventions that happened in the last 104 years, the political things that happened, and the natural disasters that had happened. I mean, it's just unreal. So, you know, thank you again for that awesome segment, and I can't wait for the next ones. And yeah, so let's keep going. By the way, guys, don't forget to check out Chris Whitehouse's book, Into the Darkness, Becoming a Ghost Hunter. It's on Amazon. Please get it. Check it out. It's awesome. And check out his YouTube channels that he has. They're always linked in the show notes. And yeah, everything that his group does is amazing. And I can't wait to have more of them on. It's just my time sucks right now. I mean, I have very little time for pretty much anything. I mean, I'm putting this show together very, very quickly, and it kind of upsets me because I like to put a lot of thought into putting my episodes together. I mean, just to give you guys a little bit of a thing, yesterday I worked 17 hours at my job, and then it took me 4.5 hours to get home. So yeah, it's just incredible. But, you know, whatever. I love doing this stuff. I love talking about the paranormal, and I love sharing my enthusiasm, and I love having people on my show, such as Chris Whitehouse and John Wright and Edgegrave Dave, that love sharing their enthusiasm for what they love as well. So, by the way, if you guys have a paranormal experience that you'd like to share, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please call me and leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744 and let me know about it. I'd love to have you on. There's still a few people that have called, and I am going to get to you. I promise. I'm sorry it's taking so long. It's been a little crazy lately. But yeah, anyway, let's keep going. All right, shall we? So one thing I've noticed, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I look at my stats a lot, and, you know, I like to try and tailor certain things to my audience, right? So a lot of my listeners, of course, me being from the United States, a lot of my listeners come from the United States. And also now that I have Chris Whitehouse, a lot of them come from the UK as well, which is awesome, awesome, awesome. But the one country that I don't really get many people at all listening is Australia. And, you know, I'm a little bit, it's funny because I get more people from non-English speaking countries listening to my podcast more than Australia, which of course is an English speaking country. So I think that's a little bit weird, and maybe I haven't really been putting enough thought into, you know, making content for different countries. So I figured what I would do is, you know, add a couple things from Australia in this episode, and hopefully that could attract some people, and, you know, they'd want to listen to my podcast a little bit. So what I'd like to do right now is I want to tell you a couple little tidbits about a couple of the most haunted places in Australia. One of them is called Devil's Pool, and it's a natural feature. The legend goes that a runaway bride named Ulana leapt to her death in this sacred indigenous site when she was barred from marrying her one true love. How come that always happens? Her curse on the spookily named Devil's Pool, also known as Babinda Boulders in the tropical North Queensland, has lingered ever since. Ulana is said to have lured 17 men to a watery grave in the past half century, remembered with the eerie epitaph, "He came for a visit and stayed forever." Another one of Australia's biggest haunted places is an amusement park. It's known as Dream World, and it's known as the country's most haunted place, one of them. The production staff of that Big Brother reality TV show reported witnessing the voice and visuals of a young girl when filming the program at DreamWorld. And employees of the Gold Coast theme park have also cited the ghost dubbed Jack Dark, a 19th century gold prospector slain by a buzzsaw nearby. So if you're from Australia and you have some cool stories from the area, paranormal experiences, please give me a call. You know the number, 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. The other thing I want to tell you guys too is that one of my favorite platforms that I used to do a virtual reality paranormal show on, it was called AltSpace VR. It's closing its doors, unfortunately. It's going away, and it's kind of upsetting because at one point, this place was awesome, man. It was a great place to meet people, and it was a great place to do my paranormal podcast, my little show that I like to do there. I've had 100 and something people there that were willing to tell their paranormal experiences and share their stories and their insight on things. And that's where I actually met, one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Steve Neal, and Mary, she's going to kill me. I can't pronounce her last name. They were both amazing people. Steve Neal was incredible, and I've had him on my show, season 2, episodes 2 and 3, if you want to check him out. He had some great, great stories, and, he has awesome movies out as well. So please check him out. But now let's get to some I Read It on Reddit. So this Reddit also comes to us from Australia. It was actually put on Reddit about 2 years ago by Top Legolas. So this one goes like this: ghost or worse encounter. And it's a long post, he warns. I lived with my cousin and her boyfriend out in a rural area of Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, for 3 months of 2020, during which I had 3 separate encounters with what I am convinced was a ghost or maybe something worse. The house itself was big, spacious, and spread out with 3 rooms and a long, long corridor. The house was once a child care center that had been rezoned as a private property. So the corridor had 2 doors that were nailed shut and no curtains or curtain rods, which left the windows exposed all the time. At night, it was absolutely creepy. It was on the main road, but so far back from the street and absolutely surrounded by trees and bushes that the street lights were barely visible. My first encounter was extremely terrifying, and even thinking about it now scares me. I was in bed, long day at work in the hospital during COVID, extremely stressful, so I went to bed around 9:30 p.m. I remember waking up in that slow way you sometimes do at night, but it wasn't because I need to use a toilet or get a drink. It was because I felt a heavy presence on the end of my bed. I slowly wake up and the presence of my legs felt heavier. I was trying to control my breathing, trying to move my legs, and the heavy presence moved up my body until it felt like something was crouching on my knees, thighs. I tried to pretend to be sleeping, but because it felt like if the presence knew I was awake, something would happen to me. So I lie as still as I can. I sleep under 3 blankets, all of them wrapped around me, so I felt like I was safe. This kind of sounds like sleep paralysis, but let's keep going with this. Until the blankets started slowly being pulled down from around me, I could feel... Okay, that does not sound like sleep paralysis. I could feel the blankets being dragged back, and the presence shifted until it was on my hips, just above my belly button. I tried to breathe as little as possible as the blankets were dragging off me and the mattress shifted beneath me, as if something was kneeling or standing on it. That was when I started to cry, biting my lips so I wouldn't make a noise as the presence pulled my first blanket off me and started on the second. I genuinely felt like I was going to die or be seriously hurt, so I lay there in heart-pounding fright. I think I might have, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but I think I might have passed out because I remember that feeling of lightheadedness and then nothing. The second encounter I had was once again when I was in bed, but I was nowhere near sleep. I had tried to watch a few episodes of Collateral on Netflix. That's not a plug, by the way. but had given, by the way, if you're Netflix, you know, I just helped you out, you know, throw some love my way, but had given up due to stress about an upcoming uni assignment, university assignment. I was lying in the dark, half covered by my blankets, when something took hold of my arm and tugged it out of my blankets and held it up in the air. Once again, I froze, pretending to sleep. My arm was perpendicular to my body, up in the air, and I could feel something heavy kneeling on my mattress next to me. I tried to breathe slowly as whatever it was held my arm in a tight grip. I remember desperately saying Hail Mary and trying to casually move my arm as if it was shifting my sleep, but all that happened was the mattress shifted, as if the presence was climbing onto my bed and it dropped my arm, which tingled for the rest of the night and felt like it had gone to sleep, or how your elbow feels when you bang your funny bone. The last encounter was an early morning one, because I remember seeing the sunlight through the gap in my blinds. I started to push my blankets off myself and climb out of bed when something grabbed my waist and pulled me back down, wrapping what felt like an arm around my waist. I froze, unable to move, and this presence pushed up against me and something pressed up against my ear and whispered, "No." I remember shaking extremely hard as I pulled myself out of bed and basically bolted from the room, smacking into my cousin's boyfriend, who was walking up the hallway from their room. I'm sorry this is so long, but I haven't mentioned these encounters to anyone, not even my ex-housemates, because it frightened me so much. Wow, those must have been super terrifying. I mean, the fact that it all happened in the bed, though, really, really sounds like sleep paralysis to me. Because you could think that you're awake and you're really not. But all in all, if you really were awake during those experiences, that had to have been extremely, extremely frightening. Yeah, so that's my I Read It on Reddit from Australia. Before we get into the next segment, I wanted to give you a little introduction to it. The next segment, of course, is The Right Headspace with John Wright. He's going to be going over hypnotic regression. Now, hypnosis has been a subject I've loved since I was a kid. I always found it fascinating what you could pretty much do with the mind and stuff. And it's an incredible thing. And he's going to be going into detail about that. And, you know, its uses and stuff like that over the next few episodes, as he'll explain. But I did want to say that my very first segment host was April of April's Creepy Corner. And she is a certified hypnotherapist, as well as a great musician and a very longtime dear friend of mine. And she was doing this, doing these segments, and she was amazing at it. I hope one day she could come back and do some more segments as well. But right now she's off having a baby. So, you know, congratulations to her. And, you know, I can't wait to see the pictures and all that. And thank you for supporting me with everything I do. You're amazing. You're awesome. She, like I said, she's a certified hypnotherapist, and I'm sure she probably would have covered this in detail as well. And hopefully maybe she'll even come up and send me some stuff with her own notes and her own things that she has learned as well. And it's actually something that I've always wanted to learn, hypnotherapy or stage hypnosis, you know, stuff like that, because it's always fascinated me. So without further ado, here is John Wright with The Right Headspace.
Thanks for having me on again, Joe. My new segment is going to be based on hypnotic regression. So I have kind of like your typical questions. What is it? How does it work? When did it first appear? Some of the big names or cases in which hypnotic regression was used, explain why it was used, and finish up with how does it work. So I'll be honest and upfront, I actually have not yet finished all of my research on this. I was about 22 pages of notes into this segment, which I talked to Joe about, and is probably going to be split up among several different segments over however many shows it's going to take to cover it. So I did a real, we'll call it, deep dive on this topic. And so we have all these questions, and unfortunately, got to kind of condense those into a very short time span. So I just called it so many questions and so little. Unlike the Jeremy Corbells of the world, my goal is to get people to investigate and for them to think critically about this topic. Not just this particular topic, but any topic that you deal with in regards to the UFO, paranormal, that kind of thing. What makes me different? I'm not here to promote a show. I don't have a, what I call a air quote documentary that I'm pushing to the public. And I don't have a website. So this I'm just doing because I believe it's one of those topics that needs to be out there. People need to hear it. People need to do their own investigations and not let some talking head tell you what you should or you should not think or believe. So where do we start? What is it? When did it first? Doing some tracing, I was able to find that this actually started with Sigmund Freud, and it was something that he carried throughout his whole entire career as a psychoanalyst. Sometimes it can be referred to as what they refer to as talking therapy. And what Freud believed was people had these, we'll call it deep-seated emotions that were within their subconscious mind. His goal was to try and reach those buried emotions, bring those to the surface so that once they were brought to the surface, they could be dealt with. If not, it was going to have serious, we'll call it physical as well as mental implications for the patient. What he had learned was over the course of doing this for years and years, that it's possible that false memories could be created and that these memories sometimes stemmed not from the subject, but from the person who is actually conducting the session. And I put in parentheses, keep this in mind for later. Now, one of the articles that I thought was really good and gives you a quick summary of what regression therapy is, the types of regression therapies that exist, is one that was done by, it's called What is Regression Therapy? It was by Neha Kashyap. It was published by Very Health. This was published on July 6, 2022. And it was later reviewed by Michael McIntyre, MD. So first question, how does it work? The basics. Typically, a patient is going to be placed in by what is supposed to be, we'll call it an expert in hypnotic regression. One of the things that they know is that this is usually done by either a neuropsychologist or a psychologist who is highly trained. Not your quote unquote expert because they've done it and they've used it on a number of different people. This is people who are trained, that actually have degrees and PhDs and MDs in these particular fields of study. This isn't somebody who, this is their hobby that they do on the side. This is like their actual job. They have deep training in this particular field. Now, once they do this, they put the subject into a trance. And usually given like a prompt, something to the regard of, okay, I'm going to bring you back to this particular day, this particular time when you had that experience. And then once they reach that moment, they just let them go. One of the things that they talk about is the hypnotist, once they get them to that point, there's supposed to be very little interference on their part. They just let the subject go and they're going to go through whatever the experience was. They're not going to interject. Usually they're just let the person get out whatever it is that they get out. Maybe occasionally they'll throw a question at them for that person to answer. But for the most part, it is, I'm going to bring you back to this point. Now it's yours. You take it and you run with it. As far as big names, there are a series of people that are part of this whole entire thing. So quick list was Dr. Martin Oren. What I'll do is in the next segment, I'll give you a brief history of who he is, what he did. Another name that might sound familiar to you is Dr. Benjamin Simons, typically a gentleman who is mentioned because of his connections to the Betty and Barney Hill case. After that, I'm going to get into, we'll call it some of the ufologists who played around with the ideas of using this because they thought it was like their magic bullet. Guys like Bud Hopkins, I'll throw out Leo Sprinkle, James McDonald. I got another gentleman. His name is Dr. Alvin Lawson, who did an experiment just to see if you took people who didn't share UFO beliefs, that kind of thing, and put them into the experiment, what would it produce? There's another thing that's referred to as the Maynard experiment. So rather than get into deep detail with all those things right now, I'm about the six and a half minute mark here. I'm going to cut it short here. Joe, I'm going to kick it back to you. But before I do, I just wanted to mention that I do have, or I did download White House's book on my Kindle, went through, read it, and loved it, and wanted to know when he's going to come up with his sequel so that this way I can find out what happened in regards to one of the spirits that he had constant contact with. That's it for me. I'm going to kick it back to you. Thanks again. Bye.
Thanks again for that awesome segment, John, as usual. I love how detailed oriented you are and how you go into all the history and everything like that. That's amazing. And I really appreciate your contributions to the show so far. And I can't wait to hear more of this. As I said before, hypnosis has always interested me ever since I saw the very first demonstration of it, which for me was a show on HBO. It was Pee-wee Herman HBO special. Which it was not a kid's show at that point. It was before he started doing the kid's show. And it's like a stage show. And it was pretty funny. But you could probably find that little clip on YouTube, too, where he hypnotizes with Dr. Mongo, which is actually very, very funny. So, yeah, I just always really found it fascinating that the mind could be, you know, subject to such a thing as suggestions like that and be open to such a thing. Now, mind you, hypnosis is not mind control. But in the next couple shows, maybe two shows from now, I will be talking about a certain kind of mind control that has happened and that is happening. No. It's not like the media stuff or any kind of conspiracy stuff. If you want more conspiracy stuff, by the way, check out the Paranoia Radio podcast with my buddies Troubles Garcia and Big Tank. You would love it. Anyway, I'm definitely going to do a little segment on something to do with mind control, and I think you guys would definitely be interested in it. So the next thing we're going to do is some haunted eBay. Let's go. So the first item for haunted eBay is haunted antique mirror locket with ghostly image. This is real. She needs help. The starting bid goes for $45.99, and it's free shipping all the way from Chesapeake City in Maryland. So it says here that the locket is hiding a beautiful ghost woman, and she needs help, and so do I. I can't sleep at night. This thing scares the hell out of me. I've had it for years, but only recently has she made herself visible to me. I have no idea how to release her from captivity. She seems sweet. I have no idea why she is trapped in here. Please help. I just need to get my old purchase price back to get square and have no lingering obligation. That sounds like you just want your money back, lady. Anyway, no shipping charge. I just need to get her in the hands of someone with skills I do not possess. The locket is a bit smaller than half a dollar coin. There is no chain. Wow. $45.99 though for a nice locket, but it has a weird lady attached to it. I'm not sure if I'm good with that. So let's go on to the next one. So this one is Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum Cursed Voodoo Ritual Object, Occult's Evil Spirit Deity. And this one's going for $6,500. Yeah, you heard me right, $6,500. And the shipping is $150 from Long Beach, California. Hello and welcome. This is an authentic tribal voodoo artifact purchased from the Robert Cornell Estate, respectively a private collector of high-end occult and esoteric tribal items that have a history of ritual use. This is a real haunted object, the real deal, a large authentic voodoo deity of an entity that was handcrafted in the Democratic Republic of the Congo during pre-Columbian times. The statue stands at 55 inches tall. It's massive. The deity was used to cause harm, pain, sickness, and death to specific individuals, family members, and/or enemies. Each nail driven into the statue had a special meaning and purpose. after the nail was driven into the object, they would sacrifice an animal as an offering and spill the life force energy onto the object to spiritually charge it. The object has magic spell bags and charms with other objects like animal bones, goat's horns, and other unknown materials. The deity has real human hair on the face of the entity, as well as real sacrificial patina residue on it, and various traces of libations spilled onto the body of the statue. Various unknown rituals used objects that wrapped around the body of the deity. This piece was crafted over 100 years ago. The statue is similar to those seen at Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum. I'm not promoting that dude. And similar to an object that was featured on the show Ghost Hunt Adventures. I am not promoting that show either. This object is an ancient tribal deity used for magic, witchcraft, by early practitioners of witchcraft and voodoo. These deities contains spirits of different beings and a very real spiritual attachment that holds an active portal associated with many strange paranormal occurrences. Balls of light have been seen at night coming from and around the statue, as well as dark masses and shadows have been seen. Tribal chants and voices, disembodied animal noises have been heard, such as goats, chickens, and other unexplained animal smells come from the object on multiple occasions. Have smelled cigar smoke, alcohol, and rotten meat, along with drafts of air that smell like incense. Tapping, knocking noises heard, as well as disembodiment screams have been heard that have woken me up at night, which is spine chilling. You can literally feel the dark energy coming off this statue. It's very strong and unlike anything that you have ever experienced. You get chills from just being near it. Ritualistic noises have been heard, like tribal instruments, drums, and rattles. Very distinct. This item contains so much history and untold stories. So you gonna spend $6,500 on that? I don't know. That does sound pretty crazy though, don't it? And the last item on Haunted eBay is Haunted Bear Doll. Has been heard reciting Bible scripture. Very demonic. Must go. And this one's going for $1,975. But it is free shipping, so hey. And it's coming from Greenville, Mississippi. This auction is for a very old, a very rare haunted bear type doll. The fur on this doll is unlike any fur I have seen on a plush doll before. I came across it while helping a friend clear out his grandmother's house in order to remodel it and rent it out. His grandmother passed away when we were kids, and it has been locked up ever since then. I remember seeing the bear in the window when we were kids playing in the yard one day, and the next day it wasn't there. We never dared to try to go into the house because my friend's aunt always claimed the house was haunted. When cleaning out the house, my friend told me I could have anything that I wanted in that house, as most of it would have to be thrown away because there was no room to store it anywhere else. So when I saw the bear, I automatically grabbed it and put it in my stash of stuff to keep. I felt like the ghost stories that the aunt told us about the house were meant to keep us out of there, but the bear did give off a weird aura when I first picked it up. After a couple of weeks of having the bear, I noticed that it seemed to be discreetly moving, like it was breathing. I kept it on my shelf in my living room, and one night while in bed, I could hear weird sounds coming from the front of the house. I got up and tiptoed to the front of the house toward the living room, trying to see what was going on. I almost went in shock as I heard a whisper-like voice coming from the direction of the bear, reciting the Matthew 12:45 scripture from the Bible. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. You know, that one. I left home as soon as possible and ended up sleeping in my car that night. When I finally got the courage to come back home the next day, the bear was sitting in the living room chair facing the TV. What's wrong? He just wants to watch some TV, man. The TV was on, but not the cable box, so it was watching the static on the screen, which made it even more creepy, of course. Currently, I have the bear in a footlocker stored in my storage unit. I have seen enough to know to stay away from this thing because it is dangerous. If you make an offer on this item, please be prepared to pay within 48 hours because I'm going to hightail it out of there and get rid of my whole eBay account so you can't get a refund when you find out that it's just a teddy bear. Okay, that last little bit was me adding stuff. I'm sorry. But yeah, so if you want to pay, you know, $19.75 for a teddy bear, go for it, guys. So as I always say, I, Ghost Joe, and the Warped Reality Podcast is not responsible if you purchase any of these items and they do or do not have any kind of paranormal abilities or anything weird does or does not happen to you, okay? Purchase at your own risk. But if you do happen to purchase any of it, you know what you got to do, right? Give me a call, 845-600-0744, and let me know about it. You could do so anonymously, or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. So that's it for Haunted eBay. So that's going to do it for me on the 33rd episode of Season 2 of the Warped Reality Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to my buddy Edgegrave Dave for his awesome review, Chris Whitehouse of the Whitehouse Investigation Team, and my buddy John Wright for his awesome, awesome segment on hypnotic regression. And I can't wait to hear the rest of what you guys have on the next episode of the Warped Reality Podcast. It's going to be the St. Patrick's Day episode, where we're going to talk about the St. Paddy's Day lore. We're going to have an awesome review, a horrible review with Edgegrave Dave on this play, a very special play to all of our hearts of the Warped Reality Podcast, called Riders to the Sea. I'll tell you all about it next week. I'm sure Dave will as well. And yeah, more from John Wright about hypnotic regression, more from Chris Whitehouse and his Whitehouse investigation team, and you know what else, guys. So have a great night, and I'll see you next week. Later. Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out WarpedRealityPodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpedRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.